Blog Talk Radio.
And it's Ken Kratzer for Sons of American Legion Radio. We have another edition of our series of Army football catch up, and today we have the pleasure of talking with a member of the class of 2014, made a lot of big kick returns for Army, and that is Captain Julian Crockett. Julian, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Good, good. Hey, Julian, we got to say our, you know, pass our condolences on the passing of your brother Jordan last year. We were all very stunned and saddened by that, and just want to express our condolences to you and your family from everybody at the American Legion.
Thank you, thank you. It's been a tough time, but I think we're doing all right for ourselves right now, and we had a lot of support throughout this past year. So, you know, I thank you for your wishes and whatnot.
No, absolutely. Tell us, why don't we start? Why did you and your brother decide to attend West Point? I know you grew up in Florida. Is that correct?
Yes, we grew up in Tampa, Florida. And so, I wasn't really thinking about the academies until my coach, my high school coach, told me, you know, you guys should probably think about, you know, going to the academies. They look for, you know, guys of your skill set and, you know, your size generally. And, wasn't sold on it, but they sent our tape anyway. And, you know, thankful that they did, because then we got the call and it was a no brainer. And the things that I was really looking at was the ability to play football, with my brother, and then it was ranked number one in Forbes that year. So it's like, how do you compare it to any other school? You know, you get a job for, you know, 5 years, some job security, and then, you know, and then it's a prestigious school. So it's like, how do you compare that to, you know, if not West Point, I probably would have went to Florida State just to be a student. And you can't really compare those experiences and you know, where you would end up. So a bit more than football, but, you know, definitely happy with the decision that I made.
Sure. Well, it's certainly a very difficult path, the 47 months at West Point. How did you find going through basic training and the summer training and all of the kind of 24/7 military discipline at West Point? How did you handle that, learn to adapt to it?
I will say that, so me and my brother went to the prep school, and that really helped, get out some of the ill will, or, you know, helped really get me ready for the rigor of the military, basic training and all of the other things. I was, by the time I was at West Point, I knew what the deal was. It was a bit more rigid at West Point, but by that time, you know, it wasn't difficult, to be honest. So, you know, just really follow directions and, you know, you'll make it through. So that's what I really tried to do, is just put my head down, follow the directions, and make sure I was doing the right things. To be honest, I didn't struggle too much with the military stuff. At times it was just academics and you know, the time management.
Sure.
Of football, academics and the military stuff. But I would say it's just the time management piece is crucial.
Yeah, we asked the freshmen, especially like the sophomores at West Point, about how they learn time management. What was the key for success in that for you to be able to handle, as you said, football, top academics, and then also the military drill? How did you learn to do all that?
Trial and error, to be honest. Trial and error. So I will say at a point in my yuck year, there was a time when I had four Fs. Going in the middle of football season.
Mm.
So I had to, at one point, I couldn't practice, and I was a bit on probation, if you will. And I just went to a bunch of additional instruction and, you know, just tried to get my grades up. So probably for so I ended up getting all of my grades up to C's, and that was good. But you know, it was trial and error learning. You know, how much I can how much I can mess around, or which wasn't much, but really just figuring out what stuff needed to be done quickly, or what stuff needed to be done first, and then what stuff needed to be done you know, later, or you know, even sort of dropped so that I can, you know, focus on other stuff. But it was definitely
sure.
a trial and error thing for me.
Yeah, what was your academic major at West Point?
So it was Foreign Area Studies of Sub-Saharan Africa, which I loved. Which
okay.
is so it's in the Department of Foreign Languages, and you take a bunch of French courses. I want to say probably four French courses, and then the rest are, you know, cultural classes, geography classes, political science classes, all geared towards Africa, honestly. But it really helps you to be able to dissect and to study cultures from, you know, different aspects of like art. So it helps you to study people and regions through different aspects of culture. So you know, geography, socioeconomic, political, history. So it was, I really enjoyed, you know, that major. Once I got into the major part, I was better off, I will say, than all of the core classes. I did really well in the major classes.
Sure. Well, certainly Africa is an important part of what the Army has been focused on. Superintendent General Williams was there working on the Ebola
mm-hmm.
epidemic. Was credited with outstanding work there in helping relieve that situation. Now let's talk a little football for a second. You played for Rich Ellerson.
Mm-hmm.
During your tenure, who I always admired. I thought he was a great coach. You were a kick returner. You had a lot of games that you were doing the kickoff return, especially in the 2012 season throughout. Tell us a little bit about what were some of the highlights of playing Army football for you?
Well, definitely my plebe year, we won the Armed Forces Bowl. So just that whole experience was amazing. And
I remember
then,
that well.
You know, yeah, that was a great time to be, especially to be a plebe on that team. And then we got a lot of our what do you call it? Sort of incentives after we got back from winning that game once we got back to school. But so that was really that was a great time. And then, I mean, even to be honestly, senior year was a great time, just because, I mean, we were in charge of the team. I mean, our record wasn't the best, but just being able to be around the guys that, you know, we had grown up with, and to finally be leaders on the team and be able to make a difference, that was just amazing.
I remember some big games in that era. Certainly in the 2010 season when you went to the Armed Forces Bowl. You won a lot of games on the road that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always admired the leadership one of the captains, Steve Anderson, from that team. He was like the first guy we met when we started covering Army football, I think the year before, 2009. And who we'd always hear on the field from the stands, we could hear him yelling at players, yelling at everybody, getting everybody going. What was Steve Anderson like to be when he was a senior captain to be a freshman on the team?
He was, I mean, one of the better captains that we had while I was there, to be honest. He just was one of those guys that protected, you know, everybody on the football team, was very passionate and, you know, really liked to win. But it wasn't like he if you were a, you know, on the B squad or, you know, starting, he treated you differently. He treated everybody pretty much the same, and he really just valued, you know, everybody on the team and just being a part of the team. He was definitely one of the better leaders, I would say.
Yeah, and I would say one of the games that really stood out for me during that era was the Northwestern game at home, where the team just showed so much confidence playing even a Big Ten team. And I think it's one of the few times we've seen a Big Ten team at Mikey Stadium in recent years. And I remember Will Wilson played center that day, and I just have this memory of Will looking around at the defense and saying, you know, at Northwestern, and saying, well, okay, who am I going to run over on this play? Do you remember that game? How did that stand out as a big win for you?
I don't really remember that game, if I'm honest. But I know that was definitely a bigger game for us, just to show that, like, we could play with anybody, and it gave us a lot of confidence moving forward in that season.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, what was it like just to graduate from West Point? That must be, so, you know, you went to the prep school for a year, 4 years, and mm-hmm. you had to really work hard, time management, work through difficult courses, play football. What was it like just to graduate from West Point? It's such an accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, once you get to graduation, everything seems to be moving at 100 miles per hour, while the rest of you know, the West Point experience is so slow. You never think that you're going to ever make it out of the academy, and then, you know, once the days are counting down to graduation, it just goes so fast, and it feels like you're not really ready for it, just because you build such great relationships and bonds with your teammates and your classmates and everything like that, and then you quickly start to realize, like, you're not going to see, you know, your boys 24/7 like you have been for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so all of that sort of starts to hit you, and it's a bit bittersweet, but you also know that there's more on the horizon, and you get to go out and do what you've learned and be a leader and get to see the world. So it was a bit bittersweet, but it was a great, you know, great accomplishment and great feeling once you throw that hat in the air and you know, you get to take off right after. So
yeah, that's a tremendous accomplishment. And tell us, so what was life after West Point like for you when you went out to, as they call it, the big army, going to different courses, getting set? Which branch of the army did you head to?
Okay, so I headed to the field artillery, and so I went to Fort Sill. I went to Fort Sill for 6 months after graduated, and did the FA basic officer leadership course. Then I went from there to JBLM, and I was in 17th Fires as a platoon. Oh, I did all of the jobs in 17th Fires, from platoon leader to staff to S3, or to assistant S3, and then to back to being a platoon leader, a support platoon leader, and then we deployed, and I was an XO and for our forward support company in UAE. And then came back, and actually I went to civil affairs selection and got selected, but then decided that I wanted to do a career in sports instead of using that degree in foreign area studies. Then I pivoted, ended up going to back to Fort Sill, went to FACCC, then I came here to El Paso at Fort Bliss, and I was working at the DeVardi headquarters for a year. Where I was the assistant plans officer, and then I was able to get an internship through the CSP, the Career Skills Program, and now I'm working with the El Paso Locomotive, the professional soccer team in El Paso, doing an internship there, and then seeing what happens next.
Sure. Well, tell you, you know, one of the questions, we do some work with ROTC programs at several colleges, and ROTC graduates about 4,000 to 5,000 second lieutenants every year, of West Point contributing about 1,000. How is it to get out to, as you said, to the field artillery program at Fort Sill, and now your peers are oftentimes ROTC school graduates? How did you find that interaction?
It was great. I mean, it's good to see people with a different background, and actual college experiences. So, that was an interesting dynamic, but, also I mean, you think that you know, West Point has the best and brightest, and we do have a lot of good good officers. But also ROTC has, you know, a bunch of good quality leaders and talented leaders. So that was an interesting thing to see, is to get out and, you know, be competing, not necessarily competing, but learning with other guys that come from different backgrounds, but are still, you know, competent leaders. So just interesting to see that you don't have to go to West Point to necessarily be the best. I mean, it helps, but also, you know, just your work ethic and how much you're passionate about it, how much effort you put into it, that really determines, you know, how good of a leader you're going to be. So that was an interesting dynamic to see.
Oh, sure. It's something we follow kind of closely. And when you look at your Army career post West Point, were there aspects of training at West Point or education or even your career as a football player that helped you in certain situations when you were out in the Army leading young soldiers? Anything stand out?
Yeah, I think from West Point and from football really is just the resilience. You know, just to be able to, if something happens that, you know, wasn't a part of the plan, to be able to just sort of reset, think about what needs to happen and sort of go from there. You know, you spend a lot of time trying to build the best plan, and most of the time it doesn't work out the way that you plan. So then you have to be able to audible, if you will, and go and create a plan on the fly and just go with it and make a decision. So I think my time like playing football really really helped, but also the time at West Point where, you know, you set out with the plan at the beginning of a semester, and then it doesn't necessarily go to plan, and you just gotta you know, figure out a way to survive one semester at a time. So I think all of that has helped me a bunch.
Oh, sure. Now I'm looking at some of the players on your team. Some very familiar names: Bobby Coe, Rich Glover, who sadly passed away last year, Mike Eugenie, Jarrett Mackey, Colby Miller, who had came in off the practice team and filled in and did such a good job at inside linebacker, Tom Holloway, Josh Jenkins, Jeff Bacon, Chris Carnegie, Hayden Pierce, Reggie Nesbitt, Lamar Johnson Harris, Justin Trimble, Joe Drummond, T.J. Altamala. Tell us about some of your teammates that you keep up with.
So with me in El Paso right now is Anthony Stevens, who was actually my roommate for a bunch of games, and then once we got out to JBLM to Tacoma, he was my roommate out there for a while. So he's down here, so I see him every now and then. Reggie Nesbitt was down here, but he has since moved on to I think he's in Georgia. I always forget. Who else? We got Tunde Akinyi is down here. I saw him this past weekend. Luke Prue is down here. Who else do we have? There's actually a lot of people that are in El Paso proper. But, I mean, I still keep up with, you know, all the guys. Scotty Williams. I still keep up with, you know, John Crusetti. Momo Khan, really too many to count. So we have a bunch of we've had a bunch of weddings in the past years, and
sure.
Every time we get together, it's a big reunion. So, yeah, I really keep up with all of the guys from my grade.
And you had quite an offensive team. I mean. On that team, you know, you had Larry Dixon, Terry Baggett, Angel Santiago, Ryan Poas at center. You mentioned Momo Kime, and you had a lot of big time offensive players that year. You had a pretty good running game.
Yeah, we really did. You know, Raymond Maples, Larry Dixon, Trent Turrentine, Terrence Baggett, like. Stephen Frazier, you know, we had quite a bunch of back. Malcolm Brown, you know, how can I forget Malcolm Brown and Brian Cobb?
Yeah.
Like, we had some really good backs and a really good run game. And it was, I mean, testament to, you know, how hard it was to get into the lineup. But these guys, we had a bunch of guys that could run the ball. And yeah, I mean, a bunch of good guys too. You know, they were good athletes, but also just really good guys that, you know, you really try to emulate. So testament to the coaching staff for being able to recruit those guys.
Sure. It just seemed like that year you had a lot of injuries, especially on defense your senior year of the looking at the 2013 Army Navy game roster and had a lot of injuries that year that really set the team, you know, made it a challenging season. But, you know, I always enjoyed it. I got to ask you, as a kick returner, what was it like when you're playing in a big game, big crowd, and they send you back there to catch the kickoff and you're running up against, you know, that defense? So what's your thought when you went out there to return kickoffs?
You know, the first thought is just, you know, to catch the ball. You know, don't make any mistakes because that is a vulnerable position. But really, I just try to focus, drown everything out. And, you know, I had a bit of a mantra a song that I would just continue, like, to repeat to myself. And then I had, like, a focal point at the opposite upright. So that was, like, the calming point where I, you know, wasn't able to really see anybody's face or anything like that. So so staring at that would help me to you know, calm my nerves a bit. And then as soon as the ball was in the air, like, I just knew 100% I was going to catch it. And, you know, once I caught it, it was all about making the first person miss, which I usually did. And then, you know, trying to get as many yards as I could.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, that's fearless, being a kick returner. You averaged 20.6 yards in the 2012 season, I read. And that must have been really an exciting memory for you. Now, what would you like to do? What's sort of like your career goal? It sounds like you're going to finish your career in the U.S. Army this year. And then what kind of things would you like to do in the future?
So as I'm, looking forward to a career in sports, I think where I'd like to be, where I'd like to go, is to be a chief marketing officer for a soccer team, for an MLS soccer team, or for, you know, USL soccer team. But really right now I'm focused on just getting as much experience and as much knowledge as I can. So, you know, I'm open to any opportunities in sports to really just learn and go from there. But I say chief marketing officer, but there's so many different jobs and factors to the sports industry that I'm really open to anything right now, and I'm just trying to learn the business and see where my skills best align. But my end goal really is to just make a positive difference in the lives of people and the community that I work in through sports, to bring them, you know, some sort of joy or some sort of relief from the work week. To help develop kids and teach them, you know, valuable lessons as sports has taught me. So I really, really, it's that positive impact in the community that I'm really worried about. So that's where I really see myself, is just making a positive impact through sports moving forward.
Well, certainly it sounds like you might be moving even towards education, where, so, you know, sports are so effective in communities, in providing education and direction and group activity, and then certainly soccer has grown so much in high schools and colleges around. And just reading about the major soccer league, how much it's grown in the last few years. They're adding more teams, I understand. So it looks like a future. Now, do you study media? It seems like a lot of what's in professional sports is all about media today. Have you had a chance to kind of look at what are the key directions in media, streaming media, broadcasting on mobile phones, all that new technology being applied to sports?
So I've started doing a bit of reading, and I've started doing a bit of self-learning, but haven't necessarily taken a course in it. That's one thing that I've been learning or trying to learn in the internship is, how does how do we use media to best cast a wide net and to get our message out and to the most people? And then how does that interaction or those engagements, how does that translate into money, and how do we track that? So that's one of the big things that I'm trying to learn through this internship, and honestly, it's been an amazing experience where I've been able to learn that. I was able to go to Tampa for a wedding, and then went to the USL league office and went to one of the teams down there, the Rowdies, and got to learn a little bit more about how they do it and contrast, you know, how we do it. And it's been a great opportunity. I've been very fortunate with the opportunities that I've had. So, but yeah, I'm steady trying to learn as much as I can.
Very good. Now it's a growing, fast paced business. And certainly, with what the growth, you know, the connections now between soccer, professional soccer in the U.S., and then soccer in Europe, where they call it football. And
right.
So a lot happening there. Hey, a final thought on talking with Julian Crockett, 2014 graduate of the U.S. Military Academy, Army football player, field artillery officer. Do you have a final thought about your experience at West Point, things that stood out or what you benefited the most from?
The one thing that's on my mind right now is we talked about Steve Anderson being a good leader, but I can't leave without talking about Pat Mealy and how good of a leader he has been as a running back, when he was a senior, when he was a firstie. He really, you know, took me under his wing, took all of the running backs under his wing, and really has continued that to this day. He's been a model officer, and the way that he reaches back to football players that he played with or that he coached while he was up at the prep school, it's a testament to the brotherhood and a testament to himself. He's just been having a great career, and he just continues to be a great leader. So that's one thing that I definitely cannot get off this podcast without talking about. And really, I just hope that, you know, we continue to improve under Coach Munkin. I know we didn't get to have the season that we wanted to last year, but you know, all of us continue to watch. We all have a group chat from my year that we're constantly chirping on game days. So we just want to let the boys know that, you know, that we're always watching, and we're always rooting for them. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, Julian Crockett, captain in the United States Army, thank you for your service. And my dad was a U.S. Army officer, also a field artillery officer in World War II, and he'd be very proud of what you've accomplished. And I just want to thank you for your time, and I hope we can do this again. And we'll look forward to following your career as you move on from the Army into business and perhaps into professional sports. Great to talk with you today, Julian Crockett.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Okay, we'll look forward to another edition of Army Football Catch-Up. We enjoyed talking today with Captain Julian Crockett, class of 2014, now serving as a U.S. Army officer in El Paso, Texas. And so on behalf of everyone at the American Legion and Sons of the American Legion Radio, this is Ken Kreitzer.